Tonight's daf is daf Chav Zayin. We got to the bottom of Chav Vav Amud Beis, the last two lines. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Pirchei Kuna Ish Ksusa Baretz. So the Gemara asks the question, Am I Hasam Karlei Rovim? In the beginning of the Mishnah, we refer to them as Rovim, these younger Kohanim. And Hacha Karlei Pirchei and Kuna. But here, later on in the Mishnah, almost a couple lines apart, we call them Pirchei. What's the difference of Rovim versus Pirchei Kuna? So the Gemara says on the top of Chav Zayin, Amri, in Hasam de lo mati lemevad avoda karlei ruvim. If since the Kohanim didn't yet get to the age of they're under 13, they can't do avoda, they're called rovim. Rovim's a word they point out that based on Targum, Targum writes in Al Torah referring to a katan. A katan's called a rav of some sort.
So like a kruv, not the keruvia, keravia. Is that the shorish?
Not sure. It could be interesting. Could be, but they say the word, they point out the word rovim. They say the Targum says it means rava, ravia. So it could be like that. It could be similar to that. So then the Gemara says, and halcha demati lehu lemeved avoda karlei pirchei. But here we're referring to those children, those kohanim, which reach the age of avoda. They're called pirchei, where they start to blossom already. They're not yet zakenim, but they're pirchei, they're growing. So that's the difference. Yeah, from Bar Mitzvah, yeah. So if you look at look at the Mefarsh on the top right, the Mefarsh writes, to answer your question, he says, Delo mati lemevet avoda, shelo hagia lasos avoda, kagon pchusim miyud gimel shana. Under the age of 13, they're not ready for avoda, they're called rovim. And hacha, going to the next Rashi, hacha de mati lemevet avoda, those who reach the age of chinuch, shekol osam sheyashenim sham bebeis hamukad, all those who slept in the beis hamukad, Ruim la avoda. They were all right for the avoda. Only people who could do avoda were in the Beis HaMukad. So the elders, we said, were sleeping on the stones sticking out those beds coming out of the walls. Exactly. These sleep on the floor. The Pirchei Kuna were sleeping on the floor, yeah.
What about the Torah says about 25 to 35 years?
That's a different thing. That's in terms of Levim. The Bishvil Kachem Yishenim Sham, because they were sleeping, Kadeshu Mizumanim Lamachar, so they could be ready. They all have to sleep in this Beis HaMukad, so they're ready the next morning. Lavod Beis HaVodasim, to do their avoda. So look for a second the rush. Everyone has a rush on the side. I'm not sure exactly. Mine's on the left side here. The rush is an interesting line here. The rush writes to Lomati Lemevet Avoda. They weren't yet right for the Avoda. Shlo Hevius Shesaros O Sancha Yushomim. He doesn't talk about age. He talks about puberty. V'niurin Kol Halayla. These Rovim were the ones who stayed up all night. Shlo Hayolahem Tareach Avoda Lamacha. They weren't working. So they were the ones who stayed up all night. I mentioned yesterday that there's a machlokas whether you needed all night, all day. So the rush on the sand, you need shmir at night, and these rovim were these boys under the age of 13 were the ones doing avoda because they were up all night. They didn't need to sleep because they weren't doing the avoda the next day. So then the Gemara says three lines down, Tanan Hasan. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Midos, Bishloshim Akomos Akohanim Shomrim Bebeis Hamikdash. There are three locations. There's a lot of overlap between Maseches Talmud and Maseches Midos. A lot of the Mishnayos are very, very similar. So they're quoting the one in Maseches Midos. What? Yeah. So Maseches Midos says, "B'sholosh mekomos hakohanim shomrim." There are three places where the kohen watches: the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Haftinas is one, Beis Hanitzutz, and Beis Hamukad. Now the Mishnah and Midos adds on, "V'alavim b'chaf aleph in 21 mekomos they would watch." Chamisha shari harbais. The harbais had five gates, so those five locations. Dalad al dalad pinosav mibifnim. There are four corners on the inside of harbais where they would watch within the wall. And Chamisha Shari Azara. Then five on the five gates of the Azara. So right now we have 14. The Arba Pinosa Mibuchot. And then there are four corners of the Beis HaMikdash. So now that gives us 18. And then Echer Belishus HaKarbon. Belishus HaKarbon was, Machlok is what took place there. But one of the opinions are that we know there's a mitzvah of Bikur Dalad Yamim. We learn from, what's the source of Bikur Dalad Yamim? For it, you bring every carbon tamid. You have to inspect the carbonos, the sheep, for 4 days straight. What's Pesach. The makor? Pesach, right? They collected. What time? When did they get the set? They took the set on which day?
Syrian.
On the 10th of Pesach, right? Shabbos HaGadol, 10th of Nisan, rather. And they're looking it over, inspecting it for 4 days until they shechted the carbon Pesach on Yud Dalet. So that's the makor
for mum,
exactly. So that was the 4 days they'd spent on Bikur Dalet Yamim. That's the source. It says Moado by Pesach. It says by carbon tamid. So that's the source that every carbon tamid requires 4 days of inspection. So that's what took place in Lishchas HaKarbon. So that was the 19th location where the Levi was. And then Echad B'Lishchas HaParoches, that's where they would weave the Paroches. That's a 20th spot. And Echad Achari Beis HaKaparis. And then behind the Kodesh Kedashim, there's a little room there. That's the 21st location where the Levi would do Shmir. Okay, so the question they ask is a wonderful sefer. It's called Ezra's Kohanim. It's a very fat, two-volume sefer. It's on Maseches Midos. And it's every question you could possibly think of. So in that sefer, he asks the question, why do you need four shomim in the inside corners? Once you have people protecting the gates of the Har Bayis and the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no need to have it at the corners also. So he proves from there that Rambam is right. What did the Rambam say? Like we saw yesterday, the Rambam said it's about kavod. The more soldiers, the more shomim you have, the greater kavod. It gives this added respect to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not for practical reasons only. That's the raya he brings. So Gemara now wants to know, Manah HaNimile, how do you know this to be the case? So how do you know you have 21 and 3 shomim? So the Gemara explained, Amar Rav Yehuda, Misura, and Amrila, others say, it's really B'masnisa, Braisa taught this, Tana as follows. Dechsiv, a quote of Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, L'mizrach HaLevim Shisha, to the east there were 6, L'tzfon HaLeYom Arba, then it's another 4, that's 10, U'lenegba HaLeYom Arba, then in the south there's going to be another 4, that gives us 14, Ula Sufim, now to the Sufim, Machogs, what that means, two added locations, Shnaim, so that's 2, 2, that's 4, that gives us what, 22, I think we're holding it now. The Parvar, which is where Rashi, Gemara will explain what Parvar means to the outside, so that's right now in terms of number, we have again 6, 4, 4, 4, 12, we have 18, I think, is that correct? Okay? 18, I think, yeah. 18. And the Marav Arba, the Mesila, Shnaim leparvar. So there's a 4 and 2, that's 6. That gives us a total of 24. So the Gemara says, we're talking about the Levim here, Lemizach Levim. So we said before the Levim only had 21 spots. But this pasuk we just brought has 24 locations for the Levi. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Hachi Kamar. This is what it means to say. La Sufim Shnaim. La Sufim isn't meant to mean 2 and 2. To the 2 Hosafas, there are a total of 2 Shomim. So that really brings us down to 22 now. It's not meant to be Shnaim. Shnaim, it means on the Shnaim Asufim, those 2 added locations, there are 2 Levim. So now we have 22. So asks the Gemara. What? It's Machlok, what Asufim means, but they say Asufim are 2 added locations. Look at Mefarish here. Where's the Mefarish? Here we go. You see the Mefarish in the bottom right here? It starts Dibur Maschel Amri Hani Chaf Dalad Havu. Amr Abaye Hachi Kamar La Sufim Shayim Kolomar Kra De Kachashiv Shayim Shayim. The Pasuk that includes 2 and 2 Bishvil Sof Pasuk Kefalas Lashono Ka'adam Hamidaber Vekofalas Lashono. It's repeating the words like a person would repeat when you speak sometimes. You just emphasize the same word. You say it twice. It doesn't mean to count it 2 times. You're saying 2. There were 2. So Bahachi Kamar Ulelishchos HaTosfos. The added lishchos, there are apparently 2 added chambers. We don't know what they were, but there are 2 added places. B'mishkan, there is shnaim. There were 2 additional levim there. So right now there's a total of 22 locations where the levim would do the shmirah. So the Gemara asks, Akati esim v'trei, that's 22. We're looking for 21. So Gemara says, Hayach de parvar chad havu. When we said the end parvar, that there was shnaim the parvar, the end of the pasuk, there's really chad havu, there's really only 1 shomer. So why do we say that there were 2 if it's really only 1? Achrina b'tavasa hu dazil. The other guy was simply there b'tavasa to keep him company. We have that term the Gemara uses in Moikatan regarding Mitzora who has to go outside the Chutz L'machanos. Then he's there with his ishto. So the Gemara uses lashon tavasa to keep him company. So the other guy's not really a shomer. Hu dazil. The Yosef Gave, he would go sit with the guy to keep him company. Mishum Nekoi Avrai, he'd sit outside by himself. It was a very lonely location to sit there all day by yourself, no one passing by. All the other gates were very active. So people were walking in, saying hello, good morning, good afternoon. This one guy is someplace in the middle of nowhere. He'd say he's bored. So we give him a second guy, but that second guy is not a shomer. He's simply a friend, a chaver. So then the Gemara says, my lefarvar. So what does that mean, lefarvar? So Amar Rabba Barav Shila Kiman Damar Klape Bar. To the outside. He was really, again, I don't know where it's located here. But it's somewhere on the outside all by himself. So that gives us a total of 21. So I'm not sure, we don't have exactly where it is. I don't know, have any pictures here of where it was. It doesn't tell us the exact location of it. Anyone have any pictures of where it was? Has it there? Yeah, I don't see it anywhere here in my pictures. So the Gemara doesn't tell us. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara now says further. Really, there are 24. Like, if you did the initial math in the Pasuk, we total 24. So how come we said before 21? So the Gemara says, Tlasa minayu the Kohanim, v'esim v'chadi levim. Three of them were the Kohanim, the other 21 were levim. Ah, but v'ha hacha levim hu dechsiv. But the Pasuk says we're talking about the levim, where the levim did shmir, not where the Kohanim did shmir. How can we say three of them are referring to the Kohanim? So answers the Gemara. I mentioned this yesterday. Rabbi Yishu ben Levi, the Amar Rabbi Yishu ben Levi, bechaf dal mekomos nikrua Kohanim levim. The 24 places in the Tanakh where we call Kohanim levim. And this pasuk in Divrei Yamim, where it says Levim, it's referring to also Kohanim. This is one of the 24 places. Kohanim Levim b'nei tzadok, and that pasuk is another example, really the prime example that we see Kohanim are sometimes referred to as Levim, and their total 24 places. Like we said yesterday, 24 is a very big number when it comes to the world of kachim. Okay, Gemara now says Chamisha Chamisha Shari Harbayis Varba Arba Pinosa Mitocho. There are five on the outer gates of Harbayis. Four on the inside corners, inside the Harbayis. And then there are another Chamisha, Chamisha, Shari, Azara. There are five watching the five gates of the Azara. And then Arba, Arba, Pinosav, Mibuchot. And then there are four on the corners outside the base of Mikdash, not inside. So asks the Gemara, Maishna Harbayis da Avdina Mitocha. Why by the Harbayis do we say the four showroom of the corners were inside the Harbayis? But Maishna Azara da Avdina Mibuchot. But the four corners of the showroom doing the corners in the Azara were not inside the Azara. They were on the outside. So why for Harbayis were they the inside corners? And for the Azara, they were on the outside part of the corner. So the Gemara says as follows. Amre Harbayis di Tama Ubay Mesiv Yosiv. So on Harbayis, if he wants to, he gets tired and he wants to sit, he could sit. You're allowed to sit on Harbayis. So Amrina Mitocha, you could therefore have the Shmir inside the Harbayis. There's no, the better place to be is inside. Because you already have the gatekeepers on the outside. So the added shomer are going to be inside, and that's the best place. And if they get tired, they'll sit down in Harbayis. The problem when it comes to the Azara, di tamu bala mesav, if they get exhausted, they want to sit down in the Azara, lamatzu yasav, you can't sit in the Azara. Why? Damar mar, ein yeshiva ba Azara, elo machos beis David bilvad. So therefore, amrina b'chutz. The only family that's allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara is Malchus beis David. So since these shomerim are not from Malchus beis David, they're Kohanim, so they can't sit in the Azara. So he said, do the Shmir on the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and if you get tired, you're allowed to sit down. Okay. There's a big discussion about Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara. What's the source? How do you know that you can't sit in Ba'azara? Anybody know? You guys know? Shmuel knows, yeah? You learned. So the one opinion is, there are a few places, it comes up a number of places. But what's the source of it, though? What's the source?
Malachim, know that was it Yeravam or something?
Excellent. So that's the story. So, but they said there's a background. The Rashi says what? No, he slept there.
Right.
So
by the way, after he slept,
he was Malchus based David. He was Malchus based David, right? So the Rashi says it's based on the Indian of Mikdash Tiro, that you have to fear the Beis HaMikdash. So part of that Mora, part of fearing the Beis HaMikdash, is not to sit in the Yeshiva, not to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, rather. There's a special exception made for David based on this story that you're referring to. Now, Rashi elsewhere writes that it's really Halach L'Mosh Mi-Sinai. It's a certain Masorah that we have that you can't sit in the Yeshiva unless you come from Malchus Beis David. So the Be'er Sheva asks an interesting question. The Be'er Sheva has an Achron. He writes in a few Masechtas and more obscure Masechtas, Tamid being one of them, Horios being another one, Sota not being as obscure, but still, he writes on the ones that are not written about so much. So he asks the question, what do you mean? If Rashi says it's Halach Mosh Mi-Sinai, so there's a Yushalmi that has a Machlokas, the Machlokas Amaroim, everyone agrees, no one's allowed to sit, most people can't sit in the Beis HaMikdash. The question was, in the Yushalmi, is Beis David allowed to sit or not? For all of us, it's Aser. Was it Iser? Did the Iser also apply to Malchus Beis David or not? So that's a Machlokas. So Be'er Sheva says, doesn't the Rambam tell us that whenever there's a halacha Mosh Mi-Sinai, what does he say? There's no machlokas. So you see that there's Yerushalmi that has such a machlokas about this. So therefore it must be that's not a halacha Mosh Mi-Sinai. So he rejects his Rashi. Now, okay, fine. So then let's go by. There's a lot more to say about this, but let's leave it at that for now. The Gemara now says, where'd we go? Amar Mar. Chamisha, Chamisha, Shari, Azara, Chamisha, Sharim, Hudavu, Bazara. Were there only five gates in the Azara? were minu. But doesn't the Mishnah tell us in Maseches Midos again? Shiva sharm hayu bazar. They're actually seven. Shlosha b'tzafon, shlosha b'darm, ve'achar b'mizrach. Three in the north, three in the south, and one in the east. That's seven. How come our Bryce above said there were five only? So Amar Abai says, Trei minayu lo tzricha shimer. Two of them really didn't require shmir. There were seven, there were. But only five of the gates required shmir. Why not? What was the reason? So if you look at Rash, the Mefarish on the top left here, around 10 narrow lines down the left side, Amar Abayu Trei minayu lo bai shimer levim. Why? The Hakonim b'shoshu shamrei lehu. Because three of the places, the Kohanim. We were just talking about the 21 places where the Levim were doing the Shemira. So two of those, I'm not sure which ones they were, but two of those gates were being watched by the Kohanim. So that's what he says. And Rashi says, which ones were they? The Beis HaMukar and the Shar Beis HaNitzot were two other gates of the Azara that the Kohanim were watching, not the Levim. So then the Gemara says, further, Rava Amar Tanayhu. No, it's really Tanai. What does that mean? It's a Machlokas Tanai. Desanya ain pochsin miyudgimel gizbarim. You can never have less than 13 gizbarim. Officers that had different jobs in the base of Migdash. Rashi says they were shoarim. The Farsha shoarim, they were gatekeepers. You can never have less than 13 gatekeepers. And furthermore, mizazayin amrachalim, seven other types of officers. So Rabbi Nosson Amar ain pochsin miyudgimel gizbarim kineged yudgimel sharim. You can't have less than 13 gizbarim because they have 13 gates. They have to watch the 13 gates. So, Dal Chamisha de Harbais. So, take away five of the Harbais. Everyone agrees that there are only five in the Harbais. So, that means that Pashulut Timna, the Azara, that means there were eight gates in the Azara. So, we see that there's a machlokas, how many gates there were. So, Alma Ikatana Damar Tamna, Havu. One opinion holds that there were eight gates in the Azara. Ikatana Damar Shiva, another opinion thinks that there are seven. Ikatana Damar Chamisha Havu. So, there's a three-way machlokas where there are five, seven, or eight gates to the Azara. So, it's a machlokas tonight. Okay. Now the Gemara says, quotes from the Mishnah, Lo ayu sheinim bigdei kodesh. The Kohanim would not sleep in the bigdei kuna. So sheinu hudulo, they can't sleep in it. Aval hiluch mahalchin, but they're allowed to walk in the bigdei kuna. Shmas mina, bigdei kuna, nitnu leinos behen. But you see, you're allowed to walk even though they're not doing their voter. You're allowed to walk wearing the bigdei kuna. So you're allowed to get hana from the bigdei kuna. You just can't sleep because you're concerned if a person's sleeping in the bigdei kuna, he might become tamei or shemi afiach while he sleeps. So that's why you can wear it while sleeping. But walking, one would be allowed. What's the reason why you're allowed to do this? So Rashi says because they made a tanai bezdin. They made a tanai. The tanai bezdin said when we were going to be makdish, when they used the various money from hektish to buy and to weave together the bigdei kuna, before infusing the kedusha, they said we're making a tanai that the Kohanim are allowed to walk around wearing these bigdei kuna even though they're not doing the avodah. That's what Rashi said, it's a Tanai Bezdin. Someone in Yuma, one of the Yishonim in Yuma, it could be the Tosos Yishonim say in Yuma, that the reason why, because we're not Malach HaSharis, it's impossible. How do you, the second you're done with the avodah, that means you have to take off the bigdei kuna right away. We can't do that right away. Since the Torah ain't no nitl, Malach HaSharis, so therefore, they didn't put any gather how quick you take off the bigdei kuna. They said, you're always allowed to wear it until you go to sleep. So the Gemara says further now, Amri, hu adin dafil hilich namilo. No, not true. Even walking would be usher for the Kohanim if they're not doing the avodah. So why does it specify only sleeping? V'hai dekasani lo hayushenim mishum debay lemisei seifa. They only spoke of sleeping because they really wanted to be a springboard to talk about the seifa. What did the seifa say? Which said, Ela potion and makaflin and manich and osan tachas rashayim. So they wanted to teach us that the Kohanim would remove the bigdei kuna. They would fold it up nicely. You see, there's an inion to fold up clothing. And then place them underneath their head. So therefore, reisha nami lo hayushayim. So therefore, since the seifa was talking about, they spoke the reisha also of sleeping. But eina chanami, just like it's usher to sleep in bigdei kuna, it's also usher to walk around in the bigdei kuna. So the Gemara says, wait a second, let's look at the seifa now. The Seifa just taught us, v'ha gufa kakasha, the Seifa is a problem. U'menichan oson tachas v'shayim. So we're saying right now that the Kohanim can't wear the bigdei kuna when they're walking or when they're sleeping. But then how could they sleep on it? How could they use it as a pillow? Tachas v'shayim. That would be aser also. They're not doing the avoda. So, shmamina, bigdei kuna, ninu lehenos behem. The fact that they could fold it up and put it tachas v'shayim and use it as a pillow clearly indicates that's mutter b'hana. So Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean tachas v'shayim. What it means is ema. Neged Rashem, next to their head, but not underneath their heads. So the Gemara says, Amar Rapapa, Rapapa says from this, just like you cannot put bigdei kuna underneath your rosh, but you can put it next to it, Shmamina, tefillin minatzad shari, and you're also allowed to place tefillin next to your head as well when you're sleeping. We're not concerned. We're not concerned you might turn over and sleep on it. We're concerned you'll have enough control while you're sleeping, just like you won't turn over onto the big day kuna, which is a serious iser of me'ila. So kava chomer, we could be made by tefillin, which is only an iser of bizoy mitzvah, which is a much lesser iser than that of big day kuna. So Gemara says further, hachanami mistavra. This is also very sensible to say. The keneged rashayim, it has to be next to the head. It can't be under rashayim. Why? Because di amris tachas rashayim mamish. It really means below the head as a pillow, that you could use big day kuna below your head. So let's say nehid and nitnu lehenas behem. So let's say we'll grant you that the bezim made a tanai that you can get hana from big day kuna when you're not wearing it. They can make a tanai by big day kuna. But tape gleim ishumi surah declaim. So we know the big day kuna, certain parts we'll see in a second, were made of kalayim. So Bezdin can't make a tanai on the kalayim. Bezdin can only make a tanai about kedusha that's being infused. But what's saying there's an issa that already exists. So midiraisa, the big day kuna is also maybe deraisa, based on the tosas and ritva and kedushin. It's a me'ila. But either way, that kalayim, they can't make a tanai. It's a deraisa that exists. When it comes to infusing it with kedusha, they can make such a tanai. So but you can't get around the issa of kalayim. So certainly it can't be referring to big day kuna below the head. It must be next to their head. So then the Gemara says, okay, wait a second. If we want to get into the world, the whole discussion of Kalayim now, let's talk about Kalayim. Can't get enough from it, exactly. The issue of Kalayim is that, based on Rashi, what Rashi says all over, is that you can't get chimum, you can't get warmth. Clothing provides warmth, so any warmth you might get from the Kalayim would be an issue. So the Gemara says, okay, Hanich l'man d'amar, this all makes sense. If you hold the Laman Damar Avneto Shakoin Gadol Lo Ze Avneto Shakoin Hedyot, so let's just review for a second. So a Kohen Hedyot wears how many begadim?
Four.
And the Kohen Gadol on a regular day wears eight. And on Yom Kippur he wears four also, the special four white. So there's a difference in the Avneto. So there's Machlokas, Avneto Shakoin Gadol, whether it's the same as the Kohen Hedyot. So look at the Mefarsh on the top right here just to explain. Mefarish says, "Hanicha leman damer avnetol shekoyin gadol lo zeu avnetol shekoyin hedyo, avnetol shekoyin gadol b'shari mos hashana." What he would wear the rest of the year, which he refers to as eight big days of. So if his avnet, his belt of the eight begadim of the shari mos hashana, the divriat kol shall climb. Everybody agrees that's the given. That's the avnetol of the koyin gadol during the year is definitely made of climb. Okay, so now the question is. If you hold that lo zeo avneto shekoin hedyo, it's not the same as the koin shehedyo, which means the koin shehedyo is not klayim. If you assume that they're different, so then only koin gadol's avneto is klayim, but koin hedyot's avnet is not klayim, so then there's no problem here. Because everyone agrees the other begadim are not klayim. The only shaila is the avneto of the koin hedyo. So the we're not talking about koin gadol sleeping, we're talking about koin hedyot sleeping. So if you assume that the Kohen Hedyot's Avnate is different than the Kohen Gadol's Avnate, which means that the Kohen Hedyot's Avnate is not Klayim, so there's no Klayim to talk of here. You actually would be able to put the Begadim, the Kohen can place the Begadim below his head, Tachas Hashem. There's no Issur of Klayim. So then there's no Shiloh. But Ella, if you assume the Mandamar Avnate Tosha Kohen Hedyot, Zehu Avnate Tosha Kohen Gadol, if you assume that they're actually the same, just like the Kohen Gadol's Avnate is Klayim, so to the Kohen Hedyot's Avnet is Klayim. So then there becomes the Issur of Klayim. Ma'ik Lameimer. How could you explain that? So we're saying even if you get around the Mila problem, that Bezdin made a Tanai. Right. So then there's still another Issur that you can't get around, the Issur of Klayim. So if you're assuming that the Kohen's Avnet is Klayim, so you can't interpret the Mishnah, take it literally, it means Mamish Tachas Roshayim. It has to be that it's going to be Eitzel Rosha. So the Gemara said, no, maybe you could still learn it literally. Maybe it can be mamash tachas rashayim, even though this climb. How could you get around it? V'chi tema, you're going to say climb, but aliyah ulevisha hudasr. Climb is only usr if you're putting it on you or you're wearing it. That's when it would be usr. Aval meimech toseh shapri dami. But to place it below you, that's okay. You're not wearing it. You're not putting it on top of you. You don't get warmth for something behind you. You get warmth for being on top of you or wearing it. So, but below you, below your head, it wouldn't be warm. So maybe there wouldn't be an Issur Klayim. But that can't be true. Because the Hatani, the Braisa tells us, Lo yala alecha, avalta matzia tachtecha. So the Pasuk says, you can't put it on you, but the implication is you can't put it below you. Aval, even though midiraisa, you can place it below you. Amru chachamim aser lasos kein shema tichroch nima achas abesaro. It's also to place it below you, lest this strand of climb touches you and gives you some level of chimum. That would be, it's a gzeira. But it's a gzeira that they keep. Now there's a concept, ein shvus b'miktash. Right, where the sugars are ancient, the Shmuley, the Kohen's Bucky and all the Kohanim stuff, now going to call on you. So where do you find ancient Shvus B'Mikdash? Anyone know? Right. So where, which Gemara? So the Gemara in, so Sukkah, not Sukkah, it doesn't mention Sukkah, but the Gemara is the end of Erev and talk, ancient Shvus B'Mikdash. Also Gemara, Pesach mentions ancient Shvus B'Mikdash. But ancient Shvus B'Mikdash, you don't do a Shvus in Beis HaMikdash. How come there's a Shvus here? So wait a second, this whole Isser to sleep on top of begadim, and then it's only Isser Midrabanan. It's a shvus. The midraisa, the Isser is only to wear klayim or to put it on top of you. To place it below you is permitted midraisa, but Chacham said don't do it because you might put a strand on top of you. That's a shvus. It's an Isser Midrabanan.
But is the shvus responsible from a mitzvah, or is it the...
Exactly. So what the Gemara and Aaron says, not every shvus, we don't throw out all shvusim. Right. It's only a shvus that's going to somehow get involved in the avodah. So that's the answer, yeah. So anyways, the Gemara says, so they have to, so I'm saying the Kohanim have to keep Shvusim as well. So they cannot sleep underneath, even though the climb underneath the head is only an Isser Midirabanan. They have to keep that Isser Midirabanan. So the Gemara says, V'chitema demafsik bimidei. So maybe there's a separation. Maybe they place the clothing with the climb in it, and they placed a wooden board on top of it or some other material, and now it's a separation. So there's no concern that a strand is going to come up untouched. Or you could put it in a bag, let's say. So the Gemara says, "V'hamar Rabbi Shimon, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Shaul, Mishim Kala Kadisha Shir Yishalayim." They had a mesora from this very kadosh kihila in Yishalayim, which said, "Afilu eser matzal zu agav zu." Even if you have 10 matches just piled one on top of the next, who climb tachdem, and the bottom one had climbed, there's no way it's going to touch your skin. It's still aser lishon alem. This is a Isser that brought down from the name of Kila Kedusha Yerushalayim. Everyone kept this. So therefore, you can't sleep underneath it. Rather, you can't have it sleep be under your head. So Ela Shema Amina, therefore, it must be, if you assume that the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol, rather of the Kohen Hedyu, is Klayim, you can't interpret the Mishnah to be Mamish Tachas Rashayim, it must be interpreted to be Neged Rashayim.
Why would it be also if there are 10 mattresses? It's not, the strand is not going to come on top of it.
Yeah, they say they made a gzera, wanted to stay far away from it. Even though it's not logical, it's still they want to stay far away from climb. That's all. So Gemara then says, Ibai saying, alternatively, another suggestion is, no, it was Mamish Tachs Rashayim, but Be'osan She'ein Bem climb. So the Kohen Hedyu wore 4 begadim. The only shaila is about the Avnet. The other 3 had no climb in it. So the 3 begadim they used as a pillow. The Avnet they left on the side. So Tachas Hashem meant the other 3 that didn't have climb. But in Echanami, the Avnet they left off on the side. That's how the Gemara answers it here. Then Rav Ashi says, Amar Bigdei Kuna Kashinhein. They were very hard. They weren't comfortable. And Amar Rav Huna, B'rei Dev Yeshua, Ha Namta Gamda Denarish Sharia. If it's some type of felt, I think. What do they say in the... Felt, right? Hard felt from a place called Narish or something. So that is a mut, that's shari, that's permitted because there's no warmth. You don't get warmth from a hard piece of cloth, even though it's shatnez. So apparently the Bigdei Kuna was not very comfortable to wear. They're very hard, and therefore it was permitted to sleep, have it to sleep on top of them. Okay, this next parenthesis I'm going to skip. That seems to be what they say. So we're going to skip it. So we go to the 2 dots now. The Gemara says, Ira, Keri, Be'echad, Mehen, V'chule. So we had the Mishnah tell us of a person that it was a Baal Keri, he went down that path. So Gemara says, Messiah Leili Rabbi Yochanan, this supports Rabbi Yochanan Shita, which is what? The Amar Mechilos Lo Niskadshu, the Mechilos, the various tunnels below the Beis HaMikdash were not Niskadesh, there's no Kedusha there. And that's why Baal Keri Mishaleh Chutz L'Shnei Machnos. Normally the Lach is a Baal Keri can't be in the Shnei Machnos, he can't be in Machne Shechina, and can't be in Machne Levia. So how's he able to walk underneath the Beis HaMikdash? It's all, isn't it all the Kedusha, the first 2 Machnos? Elamai, we see that below, the tunnels below, were not Niskadesh, and that's why the Baal Keri was permitted to be there. And this is part of a larger discussion about Mechilos in general, and whether the Gagin were Niskadesh or not, and whether the rooftops were considered Kodesh or not. That's a whole other discussion in the Gemara Pesachim. Can you eat Karbanos on top of the Gagin? That the Gemara talks about. But here it's clear, it's a discussion, but from this Mishnah it seems to indicate, it does, seem, it does indicate, that the tunnels were not Niskadesh. Yeah, right to the mikvah.
And then he was able to go right up and do the
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's drawn to the tunnels?
L'chora he could, yeah, l'chora, I think so, yeah. Yeah, so questions, the tunnel tours that we have now are not necessarily tunnels. They could have been above ground at one point. But if you get really to the tunnels, those are, right, that's right. There's a certain point that they say you're like the closest point to the Kosh Kedoshim, so I don't know exactly where the lines are.
That's what's happening. The Wadi is, they are excavating it.
Right. So, but we can't go there. Okay, the Gemara says, Tudat HaNeiris Dolkin Mekan Mekan, and there were candles lit on both sides of the tunnel. So Rav Safra Hava Yosef Bebeis HaKise. Rav Safra is one sitting in the bathroom, not the bathroom of the Beis Migdash, just a Sama bathroom. And Asir Rabbi Abba came, and Narchale, so he made some type of grunt. He needed to go to the bathroom, that was his way of responding, is anybody there? And Amr Le Almar. So then Rav Safra said, come on in. And Rav Safra was still in the bathroom. So busted an offic. So then Rabbi Abba waited a moment. So he waited for Rav Safra to leave. And then Amalei Rabbi Abba, Ad kan lo salikas lesari gamart mili desir. Lav hachi tanan. You didn't already learn. Machok is what sayir means, whether it means there to Israel means a place of Esav. But you didn't learn the following halacha. Rav Safra was in the bathroom at the time. So how was he able to say to Rabbi Abba, walk in? You can't. The Mishnah tells us, tanan matsu na'al biyadu ashe sham adam. If you find it that the door is closed under the base of Mikdash, that means someone is in the bathroom. So lemeimra deloli mibayle lemeil to tell you shouldn't come in. So why didn't the Gemara say just tell the guy? Why don't you say is anybody in there? And he'll respond back. Why do you have to have this whole sign whether it's closed or open? It implies from there that you can't talk when in the bathroom. So how come Rav Safra said you could come on in? He was talking while he's in the bathroom. So the Gemara says Rav Safra savar dilma masukanu. He was thought maybe. Rabbi Abba is really in a desperate situation. It's very dangerous for him. So he thought maybe that since it was a sakana, he was able to speak. What's a sakana? So the Tanya, the Baraita tells us, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Omer Achozer, Mavis Adam Lidei Hadarkon. Person has to go Gedolim, and he holds it back. That leads to a very serious disease. And Seelim, person has to make Ketanim. So Achozer, Mavis Adam Lidei Yerakon. If he holds it in too much, it's going to cause some other disease. So Rav Safra was concerned, maybe he was Masuka, and that's why he spoke. But other than that, Eina Hanami, one should not speak while in the bathroom. It's brought down in Halacha. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Le Rav Lechia Brei. Rav said to his son Chia, and Chain Amar Le Rav Huna, the Rav Brei. Rav Huna told his son as well, Chashich Takin Nafshech, V'kadim Takin Nafshech. A person should, when it gets dark, use the bathroom, and early in the morning use the bathroom. He should train himself to go to the bathroom those times a day. Why? Because if he waits till the daytime and people are out in the streets, so then they didn't have bathrooms that were very available. That means you have to walk far away to find a private place to go to the bathroom, and that might cause a certain sakana if you hold it in too much. So go at those times too early before people wake up, and later when people are not around as much. And when you go to the bathroom, he explains all these different halachas. Here we go here. Tov, sit, v'gale, then don't expose yourself until you sit. Sit and then expose yourself, then kasa, then cover, v'kam, and then stand up. Shatev v'shasi, shatev v'achis. So then he's talking about, this is drinking now, a different halacha. So he says, first wash the cup, drink, and when you're done drinking, wash it again, clean it out, and then place the cup down. Uchshata shose mayim, and when you drink water, shafach men, first pour the first top out. If someone else drank from it first, you want to share the germ, so tip out the top of the water first. V'acharkach tein l'tamidacha, and then after you drink it, pour out some and then hand it over to your talmid. Why? Kedesan, the Baraita tells us, lo yishta adam mayim v'tein l'tamido. A person shouldn't drink water and give it directly to his talmid, elam kein shafach men, unless he spills some of it out. U'mais be'achad sheshasa mayim, there's a maisa that once a person, a rebbe, he drank from the water. He didn't spill the water out. But not on the Talmud, though he handed it to his Talmud without spilling out the top. But also Talmud is istinisaya. He was an istinis. He didn't want to share germs. But lo rachalish shows he refused to drink. Umeis betame. He ended up dying from thirst. Bo'osa shav from that ma'isa amru. They made a following zera. Lo yishta adam ma'im v'itein l'tamido elam kein shafach men. A person can't drink and then hand it to his Talmud unless he first spills out some of the water.
What's he spilling out?
the germs. I don't want to share your germs. So once you spill the top, where my mouth touched, the saliva.
He's pouring it out over the area where he drank from, so that would be
I got you. Not the
drinking, pouring water, pouring out
over the area. So the saliva on the cup gets cleaned. Very good.
Then the Gemara says,
"Rav Ashi Amar Hilkach." Therefore, we can conclude the following: Hai Talmida Deshapich Kamei Rabbi Les Be Mishumaf Kirusa. The person, a Talmud, who takes the water and he spills out because he doesn't want to get the germs, that's not called disrespectful. That's not chutzpahdik. Kalmile lo tiflei b'api rabcha bar mi. So too, a person, a Talmud, should never spit anything out in front of his Rebbe. Bar, with the exception of kra v'daisa de kapsila shel ever damu. Except for these different items, I forget what they're called in English. But these items, the saliva gets built up from these items, it could be very dangerous for a person. It's like a psila shalaver, and therefore that's very dangerous, like some lead, and therefore you can't spit saliva out from those two items, but anything else, one's not allowed to.
It's called, if you ate squash or porridge.
Okay, so these two things, that saliva that's generated from these foods are dangerous, and that you may spit out in front of your Rebbe, but anything other than that, one is not allowed to. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll see everybody tomorrow.